Richard Sandomir is tired of bald jokes, but not too tired to write a humorous book about baldness. His new book is Bald Like Me, The Hair-Raising Adventures of Bald Man. The book is filled with put-downs of men with too much hair, like Ted Koppel and Don King. It also celebrates bald men in history and praises bald congressmen, actors, and athletes who dare to face a TV camera without a piece. But journalist Sandomir also investigated hair pieces and hair replacement techniques. I asked Richard Sandomir to describe the top of his head.
I have a vast tundra on top of my head. I have the side fringes, but it's a large tundra in the middle of the head. So I have the bald spot and nothing up front, but something on the sides.
Have you ever been really self-conscious about being bald?
Yeah, I started going bald when I was around 22, and for about 5 or 6 years, it really did make me feel self-conscious. So for a few weeks during those years, I combed the side hairs to the middle. And that didn't do much for me. Any breeze or wind would knock that out. And I had been making fun of toupees for a long time when I had hair, so I figured I could not be hypocritical and go for a toupee. But I was self-conscious for about 5 or 6 years until I realized that there was an external haired threat against people like me and that they were conspiring to make men like me feel like lesser men because we are lesser haired.
Now, as part of your research, though, you went shopping for a toupee.
Yes, I did.
And one of the things that you learned is that people in the biz really hate the word toupee.
They like the word hairpiece. I think they like rug even less than,
right.
than they like toupee. Yeah, toupee gives the connotation of the old silent movies where hairpieces would fall into soup. So I referred to it as a toupee as often as I could. And I also found that they were rather and obviously anti-bald. That's part of their shtick. And they made me feel like I'd only be a full and complete and handsome man if I had a full and complete head of hair.
Give us a sense of the type of sales pitch you ran into when you were shopping for a toupee.
Well, some of it is very subtle. They would say, well, you know, baldness is fine, but hair is better. I was pitched by Frank Sinatra's hairpiece maker, Howard Cosell's hairpiece maker. And the Howard Cosell hairpiece maker, they have an interesting sales pitch that they have toupees with names. El Conquistador, El Capitan, things like that. There was one place, a place that makes hairpieces that are semi-permanently attached, where she had a picture hanging up behind her with pictures of various shots of hair transplants going on with blood pouring down the guy's face. And I felt that was probably one way to deter one from a hair transplant and if you were inclined to buy these semi-permanent hair pieces.
Well, you met the star of hair pieces, Cy Sperling.
Yes.
President of the Hair Club for Men. And what's his motto?
I'm not only the president, I'm a client.
How did you meet him?
I just called him up. He's very public relations oriented, and as long as you spell his name right, I don't think he cares what you say about him. I call him the enemy of my people. So I called him that on TV recently, and he just goes on to his spiel, and I have no problem with his reaction to it. I wish he'd close up shop, but he's not going to. He has 30,000 clients.
Now, you found out Cy Sperling used to actually sell carpets.
Yes, it was a touching little moment during our 2 or 3 hours together, and his son and daughter work with him. His son also wears a side piece. And his daughter was sitting there, a very charming, giggly young woman, and she was, I think it came up towards the end where she said, well, Daddy, should we tell him what you did before? And he reluctantly said, well, okay, I guess so. And he said, Daddy used to sell carpeting. So a rug man before a rug man.
Does Cy Sperling make pieces or weaves?
He's a weave maker.
Oh, so...
I don't even know if he admits that they're weaves. He calls them, I believe, hair systems.
Ah.
So,
what's the difference between a hair piece and a hair weave?
As far as I know, not much beyond the method of attachment. A hair piece is generally attached with double back tape, glue, and or metal clips, which snap into the hair on the sides. And a hair weave is a semi-permanent attachment with a nylon filament that is sewn into the fringe hair and connects the hairpiece to your real hair.
Did you try a weave at all?
No, I did not want to do that because I would not be able to take it off unless I went back to the place that did it. I felt that a hairpiece was the easiest thing to have in my testing of people's attitudes towards false hair because I was too far gone from minoxidil, which is only for people who have just started losing hair. I was too far gone for hair transplants. I didn't want to do the weave, and a toupee is removable at night or at any time you want to take it off.
So what'd you buy?
I bought a hairpiece. It cost me $850, and I bought it from a man named Lewis, who, in my research, was about the nicest guy I found. He was, although anti-bald, he was not real high pressure, and he didn't seem to mind the fact that I was writing a book. Most people I didn't tell, and depending on the attitude of the person up to a certain point in the sales pitch, I might or might not tell them. And he measured me for it using such high-tech materials as saran wrap and magic marker. And in a few weeks, he matched up my hair with some hair that was collected from Italian peasant women. And then in a few weeks, it came back, and it was styled for me, and it had to be cut. It was like a Frank Zappa cut when it first came in, because it was just this mass of ringlets. And finally, when it was put on my head the first time, it looked the best. But after that, you can't have your stylist live with you. And it was just, it was a terrible thing to have in my head. I just felt I was denying my bald soul.
Well, how did you look?
The funny thing is, there are people who write about phantom limbs, and the leg has been cut off, and they still feel it, they itch it. Well, whenever I had the hairpiece on, I felt like I could see my scalp. And it was sort of like my phantom scalp, and it was always there for me. I just could look right through it. Some people thought I looked good. Some people thought I looked absolutely awful with it. The women were kinder, and all my male friends laughed heartily and endlessly when they saw me. I gathered about five of them at a Chinese restaurant, and they were rather amused, and their comments are included in a section in the book called Three Haired Men and a Baldy.
So when you were wearing a toupee?
Yes.
Do you think that strangers, when they saw you, knew it was a toupee?
I didn't ask them, but I was a complete paranoid that they knew. And it really made me feel like I was skulking around the streets, scared that people would reveal me as the fig-haired fraud that I was.
Do you feel that you were ever held back by anything because of being bald, or that anybody looked down on you or didn't want to go out with you or whatever because of it?
Well, I think that I internalized what I thought were women's feelings, and it exacerbated my usual shyness. But I don't think I had any more or less luck with women significantly because I was bald as compared to when I was haired. If I could tell the story about how I met my current girlfriend, she met me as a rugged person. I was in Disney World, and I met her because she was another reporter on this junket. And for 3 days, she saw me in Disney World wearing this hairpiece. Finally, when we got back to New York, and she lives nearby, I asked her for a date, and we went out. And the first question I asked her, beyond how are you, is, do you like my hair? And she said yes. I said, do you like the way I style it? She said yes. I said, do you think it's real? And she said, it's not. I said, no. And afterwards, I said, after dinner, I will take it off. And in between, I told her about the research for the book. And then we got back. And I went into the bathroom and spent about 5 or 10 minutes taking it off and restyling my fringe hair. And I walked slowly, very slowly, trembling almost, into her living room. And there she sat reading something. And she looked up with an angelic face. And she said, now that's better. And it made me feel so good. And we've been together ever since. And I asked her if she had any inkling that it was fake hair. And she said, just a slight bit, because her ex-husband had worn a succession of very bad hair pieces. And compared with his, mine looked great, she said. But she felt that I was holding something back in my personality by wearing it. And once it came off, I was able to really reveal my bald soul.
Do you think bald men face discrimination?
I think it's very subtle. I think bald men probably get lesser consideration for certain jobs because they are perceived as less dynamic because they are less haired. I think it could also work in our favor because it gives us a sense of maturity that we may look older than we are.
What about when we're talking about really powerful people, like, say, Gorbachev? I mean, he certainly doesn't wear a toupee.
Thank God for that. He does have that little oil slick, but he's a great, powerful leader. But of course, as the fates would have it, he has to be succeeded by an overhaired person, because the Russian succession has always gone bald-haired, 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 from Lenin to Gorbachev. It is, they're always succeeded from Lenin to Stalin to Khrushchev to Brezhnev to Andropov to Chernenko to...
I can't believe you're keeping track
to
of
Gorbachev.
This. Do you have a
yes.
chart on your wall?
No, I've memorized it, Terry. So Yeltsin
I'm really glad you've done your research.
Well, I'm a reporter. So Yeltsin has to succeed Gorbachev or some overhead person, but Yeltsin seems to be in the best position, at least for his obvious efforts so far.
Well, Richard Sandomir, thanks a lot.
My pleasure.
Richard Sandomir's new book is Bald Like Me.